God is good.
One God,
Father of all,
who's above all,
through all,
we say praise the Lord. Amen. Today we honor the Lord. Amen. The songwriter says, something down inside of me. Something is down inside of me. I wonder what's down inside of you. Amen. I said, something down inside of me. Lord, telling me to go ahead. Amen. Do you have that testimony? It didn't say everything is rosy and everything is great. But in spite of it all, I got something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading. Amen. Which will be coming from Micah chapter 6. Amen. You know, every once in a while we go into some of those books of the Bible that we're not too familiar with. Amen. But Micah is one of the Old Testament prophets. Amen. Theologically, he's considered one of the minor prophets. Amen. Micah chapter 6. If you have your Bible, and for those who do not have the Bible, it's on the screen. Amen. Do we have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
All right, now, come on, y'all. Can we not have a quiet church? Yeah, we don't need a quiet church.
Right.
You can be quiet and home all by yourself.
Right.
Amen. Amen. When we come to church, we come to magnify the Lord.
Sure.
We come to lift him up.
Yes.
We come to praise the Lord. So save your quiet time for when you go home. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Can we all praise? Can we give God a wave off? We're going to praise him. Hallelujah. I say, God has been good. Amen. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, God, I don't have to think back for it. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, Lord, my soul cries out. I said, my soul cries out. The highest praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for saving me. You know, I could be right there out on the streets, not having my right mind. I could be in the hospital, hallelujah, with a terminal illness. I don't have to be here this afternoon, so I praise the Lord for what he has done for me. I told y'all, I'm down south. I had church all by myself. I said, I had it by myself. Because what shall I render? I said, what shall I render? I can't tell you what you can give God, but what can I render unto God for all of his benefits unto me? Lord, I'll take the cup of salvation, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. I can't tell you what you're going to do. I can show you what I'm going to do, because God's been too good to me. Amen. I read the obituaries, and I see 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds that are dying. I can't help but praise the Lord. Verse 1 reads, hear ye now what the Lord said. Hear who said?
The Lord.
Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his
people.
The Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee?
Testify against me.
Can you imagine God is asking his people? Sometimes we fail to realize how good God has been. So God said, go back to that verse, please. Oh, my people, what have I done? What has God done unto you? Hallelujah. What unrighteousness has God done unto you? What injustices has God done unto you? And wherein have I testified? Law says, testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God said, now you act like I've done something against you. Now I'm going to tell you what I've done for you, what, so that you should be have a praise on your lip,
right,
and a song in your heart. God said, I have not wearied thee, but now I'm going to let you know what I've done.
Right.
He said, I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt,
yes,
and I redeemed thee out of the house.
Sir.
He said, when you were in bondage, I set you free. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know. Hallelujah. That ye may
know.
I said this afternoon, you need to know the righteousness. How many know God is a righteous God? He said, I'm letting you know, just look back. The songwriter said, my soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Hallelujah. Nothing but righteousness in God. He said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God? He ain't just a regular God. Hallelujah. I see, he's not a regular God. He's not Mohammed. He's not Buddha. Lord, but he's a high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Lord, thank you. We don't, God doesn't require that of us. All he requires that we praise him, that we honor him, that we bless him. Verse 8 reads, he has, Lord, he has, God has what? Showed you. And the, what doth the Lord? So God has showed you, and he let you know what he requires of you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Lord, we honor you this afternoon. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your words. Lord, we thank you for being our God. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, for being such a good God. Now we ask you on this afternoon to bless us. Lord, give us a ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church, and then bless us with thy word. Lord, for we acknowledge at this time that without you we can do nothing. Lord, except you watch the house, the watchman watches, but in vain. Lord, except you build the city, Lord, you build a building, but in vain. Lord, we thank you this afternoon that we say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And can the church say, in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Amen. God was letting his people know, I haven't done anything to hurt you. Everything I have done is to bless you. Amen. Sometimes we get in some quandaries to try and figure out what God is doing. But whatever, they pray, they sang a song a little earlier, whatever has happened to you,
God did it.
God did it.
I said, whatever has happened to you,
God did it.
When it's good. The God Bible lets us know concerning our God. Mm-hmm. He cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man with evil. But only God does good unto us. Go back to verse 8, then we go to James chapter 1. We get our message. Amen. He has shown thee, O man, what is.
Good.
I guess we got two preachers in the house. We got two people preaching. You preaching with me, so? You preaching with me? He Amen. He said, he has shown thee, O man, what is
good.
And what doth the Lord.
Why?
When we get saved, it's not a guess. But God lets us know. Amen. What is good and what he doth require of us. Now let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses. I'll start with verse 19. But verse 13. God has showed us what is good and what he doth require of us. Amen. I'm going to give you our message. Amen. Because I want you to meditate on it. I want you to ponder it. I want you to hide it in your heart. Amen. I've been praying and asking God, Lord, give us messages so that when we leave, the essence of the message goes with us.
Right.
Amen. We don't want to just come to church and then we leave and we forget what the message was about. So our message this afternoon is that you know. Can we say you know?
You know.
Yeah, no. You know what? We like to preach to each other. Amen.
Right.
After when you leave our church, you say, well, I had a class in public speaking. Amen. Can we say you know?
You know.
But you still won't do.
But you still won't do.
You know.
You know.
But you still won't do. Amen. We read earlier in Micah, he said, God has a controversy with his people. The controversy was he has shown thee what is good and what God does require thee, but you still won't do it. Amen. I look at my life. Paul said, I keep under my body. Lest after I preach to others, I become a, means I'm unprofitable for the kingdom of God. I don't have a testimony. I don't have a witness. So he said, I keep under my body. Lest that after I have preached to others, I become, it means unprofitable in the kingdom of God. God has shown thee, O man, what is good. Can I get a wave off if you know what's good? And what God does require of you. You see what God, he's so personal. He didn't say what he requires of everyone, but he said what he does require of what?
You.
There's no guessing. You know. But you still do not do. This was back when Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, and they were trying to get the children of Israel to repent of their evil ways. Amen. Actually, it was the children of Judah, because Israel had already been annihilated, had been assimilated into the Assyrian. So they were trying to get the children of Judah to get it right. Amen. So he's a contemporary of Isaiah, and they preached it. First, they were trying to get them to turn from sin. Then he wanted them to understand that God has a judgment for sin. But he ended with, then there's a restoration. How many are looking forward to the restoration? Lord, I need you to restore me. I can understand what David said. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thine. You know, a lot of times they get that mixed up. They say, my salvation? No. He said, thy salvation. Because when our salvation is in God, there's nothing but joy. But you know, our salvation, sometimes we get hills and valleys. We get highs and lows. Verse 13 reads, 4:13. It will apply, but not today. Amen. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. James was addressing the issue that the people focus without our perspective. They were concerned with buying, selling, and getting gain. Amen. Next verse. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. Amen. what James was trying to get them to understand, don't take God's goodness for granted. Amen? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, but then it vanishes away. Said, forget about the gain. Forget about profit. Forget about buying. Forget about selling. What about your life? What about your soul? You know, but you still want to. The essence is not about amassing or accumulating a lot down here. It's making preparations for our soul. The Lord Jesus asked, what does it profit a man if you gain the and lose your soul? And then he said, what can you give for your soul? Thou knowest, O man, what God doth require thee. Hallelujah. He says, but then you ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we shall. If God does not will, you won't live. You are here today because God has willed. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord will, amen, we shall live and do this and do. God has something specifically for us to do. Not just living. He said, you're going to live, and then you're going to do this. He didn't say you can do anything. He didn't say you can do what you wanted to do. He said, you shall do this or that. God has a specific purpose for our lives. You're not just here to coexist. You're not just here to fulfill your own desire and purpose. God has this or that for you to do. It's not all about up here, and I will do this and I can do that. If the Lord will, I will live. And then because I'm living in God, I'm going to do something for him. I will do this or I will do that. If we ponder that this afternoon, can we say we're doing this or that for God? God has given you life. God has given you breath. God gives you strength. Somebody said, I thank God that I woke up with the activity of my limb and in the right mind. But what are you giving back to God for his goodness unto you? Are you doing this for God or are you doing that for God? Are you doing this for yourself and that for yourself? Thou know it, but you still won't do. God makes known his ways, the Bible says, unto the children of men. We don't have to guess God. We don't have to figure out God, because God wants us to succeed in the name of Jesus more than we want to succeed. But God wants us to do it his way. So God says, I've showed you what I require thee. God said, I have not wearied thee. I don't know what you're going through this afternoon, but it's not because of God. Hallelujah. You know what Jeremiah says in chapter 2? He asked his people, the children of Judah, he says, what iniquity have you found in God? What faults have you found with God? How has God let you down? How has God failed you that you've gone so far away from God? What did God do to you? How did God afflict you? How did God hurt you? How did God weary you? What fault, hallelujah, that you haven't found in God, that you've gone? Instead of getting closer, we're getting further. The scriptures say if we draw nigh to God, he will what? Come on, y'all, preach to me. Amen. Preach to me. Convict your own soul. If we draw nigh to God, God will draw
nigh to us.
But that scripture said, but you need to cleanse yourselves. and then purify yourselves. There is no iniquity, there is no fault, there is no failure in God. So this afternoon we know. But the question is, now that we know, because the Bible said God made known his ways unto the children of men, you know, but why did you still walk in? Why is it that you, instead of getting closer to God, amen, instead of wrapping your arms around God, instead of magnifying and praising and exalting God, why are you getting so far away from it? The fault, hallelujah, is definitely not in God. The next verse said, but now ye rejoice in your
boasting.
They're dealing with a person that is very selfish, self-ambitious, and only concerned about themselves. He said, now your rejoicing and boasting is evil. But you know to do good. You know what God does require of thee. And the parallel that the writer, James, is trying to make is, you know what God requires. But you're just doing what you want to do. That's what he really means. Because the boasting, the rejoicing is in your accomplishments outside of God. That's why I say, if the Lord will, amen, this afternoon, I wonder how many of us this afternoon are leaving God out of our decision makings. How many of us know what God doth require? I'm going to tell you something. If you got saved, you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. Amen. You know, because the Spirit of God in you will direct your steps. The Spirit of God, the Bible said, will lead and guide you into some truth. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you know. The rivalry of the battle is not God, it's you submitting yourselves to God. Amen. He says we will submit ourselves to God and humble ourselves before God. Submission to God. You know, but you still will not do. Amen. The next verse said, therefore, to him that what?
No.
Isn't it good? Like they said, the old times, you said, you got a what kind of salvation?
No
soul. Y'all ain't gonna leave me up here by myself. Hey, if you don't want to say nothing, smile. Amen. And what kind of salvation?
No
soul salvation. To him that knoweth to do. Do you know to do good this afternoon? You know, but you still will not do it. The Bible said unto him that knoweth to do good, and to him that doeth it not, in his. That means we're walking away from God. We're not walking in the light as he's in the light. We're not honoring God by keeping him number one. There's some things, hallelujah, that are rivaling God being number one in our life. You know, Lord, thank you. What are you going to do with what you know? What does it change? Hallelujah. If I were to die right now, I want to be able to say his will with my soul. I've been free and made whole. But in order for you to be made whole, you must know, but now you must do. Amen. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in the mishaps of life and all of the things that go wrong, and we stay right there. And God is up here trying to bring us up to another level. And he said, stop looking back. But it's time to look up to you. Come on, it's time to look up to Jesus, because he is the author and finisher of your faith. So stop looking back. Let's go back to Michael chapter 6. Michael chapter 6. This afternoon, it's sad to know what God requires of you, but still not do it. Amen. We take a few minutes. We can we can all probably think of a whole lot of reasons why we're in whatever condition or position spiritually that we're in today. But will that wash from God? Will that pan out from God? The question we would ask right now, maybe it's bad. Some things are bad. So they were they with Job. But the Bible said Job still worshiped God. When things got so bad, he still worshiped God. Have you allowed your circumstances, your woes, to rob God of the worship and praise that is due his name? You know, but it still will not do. Verse 1 reads, God has a controversy with his people. Amen. But I just want to skip down to verse 5, and then we're going to go to Numbers. He says, oh my people, remember now what Balaam, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may. What he was saying is, no matter what the devil has planned against you, no matter what evil, no matter what righteousness, they got to go through God.
Come on, man.
Whatever is happening in your life, they got to go through God. He said, now I want you to consider this. How they plotted and connived. And guess what? At this time, Israel did not know they were doing it. Amen. But they plotted and connived. Balaam said, Balaam, I want you to come and curse these people. Amen. Now let us go to Numbers chapter 24. Amen. I believe we need to really get a hold of God. We need to have a Jacob experience. And we need to get a hold of God and refuse to let him go until he. Can we say bless us?
Bless us.
Whatever you're experiencing this afternoon, it's time now to get a hold of God. Amen. And don't just get a hold of God in a casual way. Amen. When Jacob laid his hands on God, the angel said, let me go because it's a breaking of day. He said, I don't want anybody else to see me here. Jacob said, I got a hold of you now, God. And I'm not going to let you go. That's desperation with God. A lot of us want him. We're not desperate enough. Amen. We start wrestling, then we get tired and let go. The Bible doesn't say he wrestled a little while, but he wrestled all night long. Some of those pity parties you have, it's time to wrestle with God. When? All night long. It's time to wake up in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. When you don't have peace of mind, it's time to wrestle with God. He said he wrestled with the angel all night long. And he didn't let it go until he blessed him. Those midnight hours, those isolation moments, those times when you're down at your worst, get a hold of God. Amen. And don't let it go until he blessed you. All right, Numbers chapter 24, and we'll start in verse 1. Amen? Now, Balaam is a unique individual, which we're going to find out as we read. God opened his eyes, and Balaam knew and understood. But we're going to find out that Balaam still did not do. He saw the vision of God. He received a revelation from God concerning Israel. But he wound up lost. Because we're going to read the scripture. Balaam knew. But Balaam did not do. Amen. And when Balaam, verse 1, saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek enchantment. So Balaam what? Knew that God was to bless Israel. Amen? So he went not his own time for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribe. Isn't God good? And the Spirit of God. So when God come upon you, guess what? You ought to know something, amen? Well, I don't know about you. How did you feel the day you got filled with the Holy Ghost? When God touched you, somebody said, I said I had running in my feet. I had jumping in my step. Why? Because of his Spirit. Sometimes we need to get refilled. So we can experience joy again, because we've allowed life's trials and tests and circumstances to rob God of the joy of our salvation. Jesus said, I give you joy that the world cannot give you. Somebody said, why do you like coming to church again to Jesus? Because can't nobody else give you this kind of joy? Can't nobody else give me this kind of peace of mind? Can nobody else bless me like this but God? So I come to church because can't nobody? Can't nobody do me like Jesus? Can't nobody pick you up like Jesus? Can't nobody turn you around like Jesus? That's why I come to church. Well, I said, can't nobody? Yeah, yes, Lord. Can we say yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
How many believe can't nobody do you like Jesus? Jesus said, what I give you, the world cannot give it to you. I like the other part. That they can. That's why you have so much trouble, because you got out of Jesus. Because what he give you, the world can't give it to you. The man can't give it to you. The woman can't give it to you. The job can't give it to you. Your profession can't give it to you. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And because can't nobody do you like Jesus, somebody needs to get in Jesus. I don't know what the woes are. I don't know what the problems are. But it's only able to sustain itself because you haven't got in Jesus.
Right.
Because he said, when you get in me, the world won't be able to give it to you, and the world won't be able to.
Amen.
Amen. He said, he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, said, and the man whose eyes are open had. So guess what? God showed him something, amen? So Balaam knew. Lord have mercy, but Balaam still did not do. He has said, which heard, Lord, thank you. He didn't guess. He wasn't trying to figure out what he was hearing. He heard the words of God. Lord, and then he did better than that. He saw the vision of the. He just didn't see God in his smallness. But he saw the vision of the Almighty God. So Balaam knew. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He knew. Falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, he had one of those Holy Ghost experiences. God bless him. With his eyes open, he saw God. He felt God. He heard God. So Balaam knew. Amen. Say, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. As the valleys are spread forth as gardens by the riverside. He's just blessing them there. God has opened his eyes so he can see the blessing and not the curse. Amen. You go to the next verse. Go to the next one. God brought him forth out of. God is showing Balaam all that he's done for his people. Has God brought you out of the world? Can we give God away then? So that means he brought you out of Egypt. He saved your soul. Hallelujah. And he had, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies. Amen. Somebody say, God is fighting my battles. So there's no need for me to fight in this battle. Because God is Come on, can we say God's fighting my battles? Some of those battles you gotta let go.
Oh yes.
You've been fighting too much. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you some. So stop fighting and give it to Jesus. Let him fix it for you. Hallelujah. And shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he laid down as a lion. And as a great lion, who shall stir him? Now this is, God is opening his eyes. Whenever we get in God like we got to, or like we ought to be, you don't see nothing but blessings. Even when things aren't right, you still see the blessings. Even when things are going downhill, you still see the blessings. You know why you see the blessings? Because you still see God in the situation. Because I have not departed from the words in his mouth. His words in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. So let the winds come. Let the trials come. I'm standing still because I believe it. My Savior liveth. Hallelujah. And he's going to stand the latter days. How many know God's going to stand? Don't lose your focus. Don't lose sight of your purpose. Don't lose sight of your calling. You know it's now it's time to do. Amen. He says, blessed is he that blessed. Say, you know what? Nobody can do anything against you. Amen. Blessed is he that blesses thee and you know what God's telling them? He said, I got your back. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know God has my back? If you bless me, God's going to bless you. But if you curse me, God is going to. So can we all conclude that Balaam definitely knew? Can the church say amen? He said, you know what? There's no enchantment. There's nothing that we can do against God's people because they are blessed. Earlier in the chapter, or the, earlier, I believe in chapter 23, he said, the people are blessed and not cursed. Amen. He's all right. He said, how can you curse whom God has blessed? Amen. I mean, let him run through here and run through there and get some of y'all run. Hallelujah. Amen. He said the people are blessed and they are not cursed. So we don't understand that Balaam definitely what? Knew. Amen. There's no doubt in our mind that he knew. Amen. So now let's go to chapter 31. This is our last scripture here, so don't get weary on me. Amen. Balaam knew. But the sad part is that he still. Well, I got one more scripture that just came to my mind. Can I have a minute? Can y'all say take your time? Half y'all didn't see it, so I'm gonna take it over. Amen. I got one more scripture after this one, okay? Amen. But let's go to chapter 31. It says, and the Lord spake, verse 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of. This is almost like a, this is like a strange twist. God's telling Moses, he said, now go avenge yourself of the Midianites. When Moses fled from Egypt, where did he go to?
Midian.
So the very people that rescued you, God said your devotion and alliance can't be to the people. But it has to be to the very people that rescued you when you were in trouble have to take a back seat to God. So the Midianites would be considered Moses' people because he married his wife, a man, which was a Midianite. But God says, when it comes to me, I have to be a strange twist of fate. The people that rescued you, when they go wrong, you can't be bound up and bound or tied up with them. You got to make a stand for God. Can you imagine Moses? He said, wait a minute, God. When I had to flee from Pharaoh in Egypt, I went to Midian. Now you're telling me to go and destroy the Midianites? How many of us are held hostage because of what man has done? And we won't do for God because we are hostage to what someone else has done. Won't go forward in God. Won't take a step in God because we are bound by what man has done. I thank God that Moses didn't start rationalizing. I said, wait a minute, God. Don't you remember that these are the people that rescued me when I was in trouble? My question is, are you more loyal to the people than you are to God? God was showing Moses at this point in your life, you have to make a decision. Yes, they're your relatives. Yes, they're your people. But if they're contrary to me, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on? In your decision making and doing, are you doing it because you're on the Lord's side? Are you rationalizing why you can't do for God because of what someone else has done for you? I guarantee you, if you make a stand for God, God will take care of everything else. Because we read that God is a God of righteousness. And even when Abraham was reasoning with God concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, shall not the judge of all. He's not the judge just in Troy. He's not just a judge in Jamaica. What is it? Barbados? Amen. I said Jamaica. Amen. Missionary Wilson said, yeah, that's us. Amen. He's not just over in Chicago. He's not just God in Atlanta. He's a God. Oh, I guess we got Puerto Rico and everybody in here. I better stop leaving me now. He's all nationalities. Wherever you're from. He's the God all over. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Make your stand for God. You have the assurance that he won't do wrong. That God will do. So God tells Moses, the same people, that the very people that saved and delivered you, now destroy them. Why? Because they're not walking in my precepts and my statutes. Amen? Afterwards shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. I'm going to finish this up quickly. Go ahead to the next verse. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, arm yourselves, some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites and avenge. So the stand is for who? The Lord. Of who? The very people that delivered me. They didn't do it. God did it. God can use whomsoever he will. But the greater commitment or dedication has to still be to God. Where is our loyalty this afternoon? Who are we committed to? Amen. Some of us are bound in situations because of what man has done. They can't be before God. God has to be number one. All right, skip down, I think, to verse 8. Okay, go down to verse 8. Now, so they are slaying the who? Midianites. Amen. Because they are no longer on the Lord's side. So God said, I want you to take vengeance on the people that are in the way. It says, and they slew the kings of Midian, besides the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechab and Zer and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Wait a minute. Who's getting slain? Didn't Balaam know? Had God opened his eyes? Didn't he see the vision of God? So Balaam, what? You. How is it that when God is sending to take vengeance on those that are contrary to God, he slays the very one that saw and knew? Why? Because the scripture says he knew what he did not do. That great revelation, all those prophecies, but God slew him as well. Amen. I'm going to drop down to one second. I kind of lost this one for a second. Give me one quick moment. Go down to verse 15. After Balaam had blessed the people and Israel, God turns around and kills him. Why? Because Balaam knew, but Balaam did not do. So to him that knoweth to do good, you don't have to guess. If you say God's spirit directs you towards good, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is. So he knew. So verse 15 says, and Moses said unto them, have you saved all these women alive? After they killed the poor Midianites, they brought the women back. These were the ones that had caused Israel to sin. God said, wait a minute. How are you getting back involved with something that caused you to fall down in the beginning? How are you back involved with this? These are the very ones that caused you to disobey me and fall into sin. He said, how can you bring that to me now? Don't you see what I'm doing? I'm destroying stuff that's wrong. God said, Moses said, what was your mind at? What were you thinking about that you would bring the very thing that caused you to fail back into the camp? That's something to think about. Stuff that messed you up, you still messing with it. It's time to leave it alone and let it go. It messed you up, it took you down. And then you're bringing that back. So the Bible says, God will not curse us. Excuse me. God will not curse us, but we can bring the curse
on ourselves.
God won't curse you because you have his spirit in you. But when you walk in disobedience, you bring the curse on yourself. Verse 16 says, behold, these caused the children of Israel to the... Wait a minute. Balaam knew better, didn't he? Balaam saw Israel. He said, you're blessed. Blessed are they that bless you. He said, and cursed are they that... Then he turned around and works to curse the people. So his very prophecy fell on him. Amen? He says, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among congregations. Let us stand. In your spare time, read chapter 2 of Revelation. It's about the church of Pergamos. God says, I know thy works. But his indictment against the church of Pergamos was their tolerance for those that held the doctrine of Balaam. And Revelations was a futuristic prophecy concerning when? The last days. Even that very work of Balaam that caused Israel in the beginning to fail has never died. So God curses them for the tolerance. He said, you have with you those that hold the doctrine of Balaam. This afternoon, you know. What are you going to do with what you know? Yes, we probably could come up for a hundred reasons as the elders and the ministers come forward. We can probably think of all the reasons why we should not do, or why we're in the condition or the position that we're in. But if God be for you, who then can be against you? If God is fighting your battle, you don't have to worry about anything. That's why the scripture said, this is how big our God is. If God is with you, one of you will put a thousand to flight. Hallelujah. But when God is with you, two of you will put 10,000 to flight. You don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing if God is with you. But if God is not pleased with you, if you know what you still are not doing, it's time to get it right. You know what I like about God? When we do the right thing to come to God, when we confess our sins and leave them alone, God says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Maybe you failed in the past. Maybe you've come up short. But it's time to get it right. God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. Hallelujah. If you know, can we do now? Don't have